Shalom Aleichem, Abiyah 15613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Chulin Tzadi Gimel, Chulin 93b, pagination is 186, starting from the bottom of the page, three lines up, Masnisin at the Mishnah. We are in the Perek of Gid Hanoshe, which is a particular part of the animal that has to be removed, can't be eaten as part of kosher consumption. And we'll remember that that has to do with the mitzvah that we find in Parshas Vayishlach with the incident of Yaakov and his wrestling with the angel. Vayeyovek ish imo, Yaakov got injured by his thigh, and therefore the corresponding part in the animal, al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael es gid hanoshe, we don't eat that part of the animal. So normally, one would make that surgical incision and remove that particular part that has to be removed. Says the Mishnah, Shaleach Adam Yerech Le'ovei Kochavim, a person is allowed to, a Jew is allowed to send the thigh of an animal to a non-Jew as a gift, whatever the circumstances, he's giving this to the Akum. Our concern here is a kosher concern, Shegid Hanoshe V'socha, that the Gid Hanoshe is still present in the thigh, in the piece of meat. You're allowed to do that. Mepnei Shemekomo Nikar, because the place is noticeable, meaning the non-Jew and anyone else to whom this might be relevant can tell that the Gid Hanoshe has not yet been removed. In contrast, if you would be sending him chop meat, which has Gid Hanoshe mixed into it, and you're viewing it as, hey, it's not kosher, I'm sending it to the non-Jew, what's the difference? There would be some sort of restriction. The only reason it's permitted is mipnei, because shemekomo nikar, it's noticeable. And the Gemara branches off over here in two different directions. The first direction is this is a kashrus issue. Says Rashi, ve'ein choshishen shemayachsa v'yimkareno liYisrael v'yochlano b'gida. We're not worried that the non-Jew is going to resell it to a Jew thinking that it's kosher, and the Jew will eat it with the Gid Hanoshe, the Keva de Shleimahi, because as we said, it's mekomo nikar, it's noticeable, meaning it's complete, it's intact. So a person who knows animals, which they did in their time, would be able to look at the thigh, see that the Gid Hanoshe post-mortem surgery to remove the Gid Hanoshe wasn't done, and therefore Mavin Shalonito Venotlo, the person who's the end user here, the Jew, will notice that the Gid Hanoshe has not been removed, and he will remove it before eating. And that's why this is good. A typical Mishnah, very cryptic. You can do this because it's noticeable, and now it's up to us to figure out all the detail. What would happen if it wasn't mekomo nikar? Well, then we wouldn't know that there's a Gid Hanoshe there, and we would think it's kosher. Kosher? A Jew is buying meat from a non-Jew, and he's assuming it's kosher? How does that work? And the Gemara develops a situation which is hard to us for us to comprehend because it's not our social environment, but the social environment described, Rashi summarizes it one line up, Shekol hatabochim shel osa mokom Yisraelim heim. All of the butchers are Jewish in this area, in this city. And all the meat is kosher, and it's unusual to get a treifa, And when they do get a tray for non-kosher meat, they announce, machrizin, they announce that there's non-kosher meat on the market. But otherwise, all the meat in town is kosher. And that's where this is coming from, that if someone would get something from the non-Jew, he's assuming it's kosher because everything here is kosher. I once heard someone describe a certain amusement park. The water fountains are soda. Everywhere you go, you can get soda. Now, today, we're not so into the sugar drinks, and we'd like some water fountains somewhere. But everything has this unique status. And that would be one approach. That's not the primary approach, though. If such a situation exists, then the meat in town is kosher. How does that work in terms of hechsherim, etc.? But that's one approach that is explored by the Gemara. Moving on to Tzadi Dalet Amar Aleph, we have the reasoning, which is what's brought in Halacha as the primary understanding of this Mishnah. It's about nine lines down at the end of the line. Ve'iba yaseman, if you want, we can say, Mishum dekaganiv le'lidaite, because you're stealing his mind, his intent, his understanding. You're being, on some level, devious. De'omar Shmuel, as Shmuel taught, Osa lignov das habrios va'afilu daite shalovet kochavim, you're not allowed to steal people's intent. What does it mean you're stealing his intent? The non-Jew thinks that you're giving him a piece of meat that you could have eaten. That's a very significant gift, and he really appreciates it. And in reality, what you're doing is you're giving him a piece of meat that you couldn't eat because it would take a lot of work to remove the gid anosha, and you chose not to do it. Even on that little difference between preparing the meat for kosher consumption and not, even though it's fundamentally kosher, that's genevas das, that's stealing his impressions, because he thinks that he has to reciprocate. He thinks you like him more than you actually do, because it wasn't fit for your consumption. Rashi, just about midway on the page, at the beginning of a line, Kasavur sheYisrael ze'ohavo me'od. He thinks that the Jew really likes him. Shetekna v'torach ba litol gida. He made the effort to remove the gid. Achaniras la'atzma, to the point that it's kosher to eat. Va'achakach nasna lo, and something that was ready for him to eat, he gave to me. V'hulo natlo, and the Jew really did not remove the gid anasha. V'nimtza machzik lo tova b'chinam, the person is attributing a goodness to him for nothing, unjustified. You tricked him. And that's genevas das. V'hadu Shmuel lav b'feirish itmar, this that Shmuel taught was in an incident. Shmuel wanted to gain passage across the waterway. Amale l'shamei, he told his assistant, Paisei l'mavore, appease the person in charge. Paisei, so he appeased him. V'ikbid, and Shmuel objected. My time of ikbid, why did he object? And this is what happened. Amar Abaye, tanugolas terefa havoi, they had a non-kosher chicken. It was treif. V'yavanele b'mar d'shchuta. And he gave it to this person in charge as if it was kosher, as if it was acceptable. And that's an example of genevas das. Rava Amar Rava said that he was supposed to give him undiluted wine, and he ended up giving him diluted wine. He tricked him. So the Gemara acknowledges that it's only mechlala, that it's not 100% valid as a proof to Kenevas Das, because each of these stories could be interpreted other ways. The Treifa case, it could be that Shmuel was annoyed with him because he was hanging on to a Treifa and someone might have eaten it without realizing. And the case of the wine, it could be it's straightforward theft, because if you gave him the impression you were going to give him undiluted wine and you gave him diluted wine, that's theft. It's not necessarily just Kenevas Das. But nevertheless, this is a principle that we work with and that we paskin in accordance with, that you're not allowed to deceive a person even when you're giving them a gift, because they feel that you have given them something to which they owe you one. They're machzik tova chinam. They're appreciative for nothing without having actually received the special thing. And indeed, we have this consideration: if we give something that's not kosher, that we got as a gift, whatever, we can't use it, and we gift it to a neighbor, one has to be careful how they present it and not give the impression that it was something edible for me and I'm giving it to you. There's a bit of self-sacrifice there and emotional generosity. And if that's not really true, one is supposed to go ahead and say, I got this as a gift. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not able to use it because it's not kosher, because I'm on a diet, but I thought of you. And you could still create a lot of positive energy, but not to be misleading. Yasha Koach, thank you for joining.